It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. I'll begin our first segment here today with a quote. Republicans are the blue light party. The brand is tainted, perhaps irrevocably. Instead of being identified as the party of entrepreneurs, of efficient government, of rational taxes, and of strong national defense, it is widely viewed as the place for the angry, the intolerant, the extremists, and, as much as party regulars are fighting it, the party of Donald Trump, unquote. Our next guest penned those lines. In his new book, the Detroit News' Nolan Finley describes himself as Detroit's conservative voice. He's been at the news for 40 years and a couple of weeks, and he joins me now. Nolan Finley, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be with you.
This is a rather withering comparison here in the column. The Republican Party is like Kmart's old Blue Light Special, which is an absolute retail relic if ever I heard one. How exactly do you think that the GOP is like the old Blue Light Special?
Well, you know, I covered that whole Kmart unraveling back in the early 90s. I remember, you know, they was just all of a sudden, you know, they went from a retailer that was dominant in its market segment to one that was quickly becoming irrelevant. And I think the same is true in many ways of the GOP. It's just not the place to be. I mean, particularly for younger folks. So it's just not, you know, it's just not cool. It's got a bad image. And Kmart fought an image problem, and nothing it could do could change its image. And, you know, the GOP, I think, is fighting an image problem and not doing a whole heck of a lot to change it.
You say some of this, at least, is self-inflicted. In what ways have Republicans brought this on themselves?
I think by allowing some of the more extreme voices to take control of their party. I think being on the losing side constantly of the culture wars, not being a broad-based party any longer. I mean, when I was young, this was a party that you had a lot of different people from a lot of different viewpoints were welcome and accepted. And, you know, there's now a hostility towards anybody who doesn't hug a very narrow viewpoint in the party. And so I think in that way, they've destroyed their brand or are destroying their brand. And I think Donald Trump seals that fate.
How might they at least begin to repair this situation?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure it is repairable. I don't know that, you know, it's why I talk in the column about the things Kmart did with Martha Stewart and Kathy Ireland and all sorts of other big-name celebrity endorsers, and it didn't work. You know, they still became a place where you couldn't take a kid shopping for back-to-school clothes. You know, it's not if you could go to Target. And I think... I'm not sure. I thought back then that the answer for Kmart was to change its name. You can't just change your stores. You just can't change your product line up. You're still Kmart. And, you know, it takes a long time. Once you've been branded with a certain image, it takes a long time to recover that. And I thought then they should change their name. I'm not sure the Republicans shouldn't do the same.
Well, is the heart of this thing branding and perception, or is the heart of this thing positions and values that arguably, at least, fewer Americans believe in?
Well, I think there's still a lot of people in the Republican Party who are hold different views than what we've come to think of as the party base. So, you know, I think it's both.
There were, I think, at one point, I want to say 17 Republican presidential candidates. There were just a whole lot.
And many of them were very good candidates. Many of them would have extraordinarily appeal to the mainstream voter, particularly in a year when the Democrats are rivaling the Republicans in their extremism and their push to the edges of the party. We don't talk about that as much because they don't have someone as outrageous as Donald Trump, I guess, every day in the spotlight, although I would argue that Bernie Sanders is awfully close. And, you know, they've got a mess over on that side of the party. And any number of those 17 original candidates would have stood a good chance of prevailing in November. And we're down to to three, and two of those three are probably the least likely to prevail.
Of those 17, though, here's my question. Of those 17, were there any that you say, you're suggesting that quite a few of those 17 represent, do they represent a direction away from the blue light special mentality?
Well, yeah, you look at John Kasich. I mean, he's won election twice in a very diverse, very middle-of-the-road state, Ohio. Jeb Bush, governor of Florida. Chris Christie, New Jersey. I mean, these are people who have proven themselves capable of getting votes across the aisle and from the middle. And, you know, that's because of the positions they've taken and held over the years. And, you know, the Republican Party just simply, or the, you know, the Republican Party primary voters just simply dismissed them.
Marco,
they were too much in the middle.
Marco Rubio is sometimes, you know, referred to as the, you know, the future of the Republican Party may well be back as a presidential candidate. Do you include Rubio in that crowd? Do you think he could represent the kind of change that it sounds like you're pursuing here?
Yeah, I liked Rubio. I think he was a little too young, perhaps, and inexperienced. I don't think expect to see him back in Cleveland as a presidential candidate. I think he's done.
We're talking with Nolan Finley. Nolan Finley is the editorial page editor for the Detroit News, and really recently marked his 40th year at the newspaper. Donald Trump's walked back a few comments that he's made, none with more publicity, I think, than last week's that women who have abortions should be punished. Talk to us a little bit more about the Trump phenomenon and where you think it's at right now. He seems to be under more pressure right now than he has been at any point in the campaign.
Well, I think the media is finally treating him, as a something other than just a sideshow. I mean, for a long time, they simply put microphones in front of him and let him talk, and now they're starting to ask hard questions of him, and he's not doing as well. I think the Trump phenomenon stems from I've heard people say, well, you know, the Republican Party and created Donald Trump and created this position they're in now, and I think that's partly true, you know, by the cultivation and over-promising of what they could do once they got in office. But I also think, you know, that Donald Trump's a product of Barack Obama and a governing philosophy that just said, you know, we're not going to listen to you. We're not going to give you a voice. And when people feel like they don't have a voice, they do, you know, they look to folks like Donald Trump who talk loudly and say tough things and promise to listen to them. I mean, a lot of things got pushed through an electorate that they just weren't ready for or comfortable for, and you're seeing now the end result of that.
The New York Times had a story on Saturday that got into the possibility of a brokered Republican convention that might result in a Paul Ryan candidacy for president. Basically, neither Trump nor Cruz, and the scenario is this, basically neither Trump nor Cruz have sufficient delegates in the early rounds to get the nomination, and a compromise candidate like Ryan emerges from the floor. It's been a surprising campaign with extraordinary developments. Is a scenario like that at the convention plausible to you?
I think anything's possible. I believe we're probably going to end up with some sort of brokered convention, particularly if Trump keeps stumbling. I don't think Ted Cruz is going to have enough delegates to win the nomination outright. And, you know, we'll see if the party it gets to Cleveland and thinks it's the bargaining is between Trump and Cruz, or if they introduce a third candidate in, or, you know, if John Kasich's still in at the convention, whether or not the party decides, hey, we might want to actually win in November, and we got a guy here who can do it.
I am.
John Kasich polls very well against Hillary Clinton, and, you know, she gets weaker by the day. I think at some point the party may get to the convention and say, this is about winning the presidency, and so maybe we should go with a candidate who can win.
I imagine you'll play a key role in determining which presidential candidates your newspaper will endorse. What's going to go into that decision, and when will the paper be announcing an endorsement?
Well, we endorsed John Kasich in the primary. In the general election, we'll wait until the fall, and we'll take a look at whatever two candidates are still standing and try to decide which one represents the best interests of the people of Michigan.
A new book of yours, Little Red Hen, a collection of columns from Detroit's conservative voice, is out. Where does that title come from, Nolan Finley?
It comes from, you know, this is a collection of columns, and it comes from the lead column in the book. It's a column I wrote a few years back about sort of the values my mother taught me, and she used to tell us over and over again that story of the Little Red Hen, and I'm sure, you know, your listeners are familiar with it, but, you know, it's a story of self-reliance and the rewards of hard work and the consequences of sloth, and, you know, that was a central theme of hers, and I think that's very much what shaped my values.
Your book goes back and reprints columns from your 40 years at the Detroit News. Which chapter of Detroit's which chapter of Detroit's recent history do you consider most important? I know there's lots to choose from. There's bankruptcy. There's the Kwame years. Which recent Detroit chapter do you consider most interesting?
I think the one we're in right now. I mean, this rebound and revival of Detroit was, you know, it was promised and promised and promised over the last 50 years, and it never seemed to take hold. And to me, it's very striking that it took hold during really what should look like a collapse of the city. But through the Kwame years, you know, the city kept, the revival kept pushing forward, and the people who believed in the city kept investing, and people kept coming in, and good things were happening. And I say, you know, now that for 40 years, most of those 40 years, I came into Detroit every day, and there was something less. And now every day there's something more. And I think this is really an exciting time for the city.
Nolan Finley is the editorial page editor for the Detroit News. His new book is called Little Red Hen, a collection of columns from Detroit's conservative voice. Nolan Finley, thanks and good luck.
Thank you, Mark. It's been fun.